The Military Exchange Talk Show is a faith-based organization that attends to veterans' spiritual needs in areas of veteran health and wellness. We will talk candidly about veteran issues and how they relate to God's Word. This is your show to speak what's on your hearts and minds. I'm only here to facilitate truth and logic to my brothers and sisters who are on active duty, reserves, and veterans that have served this great country by putting themselves at risk on the front lines of freedom. So join me in a new way of thinking and healing and advocating for our men and women who need you, the veteran, even more today to be leaders in your own communities, to be godly parents, skillful workers, to be an example of citizenry with morals and ethos, and a true and loyal friend to the military veteran. Welcome to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is our first live show, so if you can bear with us today, you can call in. We want you to talk to us about women in combat. I'm talking the draft, the actual, can they make it to the battlefield with the combat load? What about women in combat? There's a lot of things that people don't realize what our women put up with in the military. Without getting into the horrible stuff like sexual harassment, I'm just setting that one all the way aside. Did you know that our women in the military don't, at least in the Marine Corps, they don't even have belt loops for their pants? That's right. Not talking camis. We're talking dress blues. Women in the Marine Corps have to wear pants from the 1950s with a zipper on the side of their hip or up their buttocks. So it has to fit exactly around the waist. How's that going to work out? Women in the Army, their dress blues have to be measured, your ribbons and your medals, by their breast size. I'm not kidding. And it has to line up right across the nipple ring. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just showing you how far back we really go. Now, women are making great strides. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what a Navy SEAL, the guy who shot Bin Laden, what he says about women in combat. Military lives matter. That's our next subject. You can call on any of these subjects. Black lives matter, white lives matter, but do all lives matter? Apparently not. Military lives don't matter. Three times now, our Marine Corps veterans, I think they're all Marines from what I understand, have been jumped and beaten up with the threat, do you believe Black Lives Matter? And of course, the guys that got jumped are not our dark green Marines. 11 universal truths that happened when I became a veteran. Just a little levity, but there's a lot of things that sticks with all of us as far as veterans go, and this is one of them. Wait till you get to that segment. I think you're going to like to hear what we have to say. And then at the end, we're going to talk about God and the gift of discernment and how that applies to what a Leo would call his sixth sense. That's right, sixth sense. A Leo. What is a Leo? Law enforcement officer. But that also applies to you, the Marine, the soldier. We'll be right back after this announcement. We got a couple commercials, and then we'll talk about women in combat. Call us at that number. You should be linked to our webpage, and we want to hear from you.
The Military Exchange.
Say anything you want about your party. Have everybody come over and just, it's all going to be on the air this weekend. Just say anything you want.
4th Battalion, 4034.
Hoorah!
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 All right, that's good. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you,
Tim.
Thank you.
Bye.
And now, a moment of bliss, courtesy of Iron Mike's Military Exchange and Camping Supply.
My Wooby, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad. For being issued you, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate. And we both know that it's fate. Forever, I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I'm yours, and you are mine. Forever and ever will be just fine. And on the eighth day, God created the poncho liner, and the infantry was very thankful.
The American-made military issue poncho line are available in assorted colors along with the USGI poncho to create a Ranger bag. Available at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332, Canandaigua. Visit online at ironmikes.co.
Welcome back to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. SEAL who killed Bin Laden says women deserve a shot at special ops. The former U.S. Navy SEAL known for killing Osama Bin Laden said he supports women serving in elite special operation units as long as they can meet the standard. But I don't think he's doing that tongue-in-cheek like the rest of the grunts are doing. Every grunt in the Marine Corps, and I was one, says, you know they can't carry the combat load. Well, they can, and they get hurt. They actually physically get hurt for the rest of their lives. That's an issue, but there's an issue around that. Robert O'Neill, who claimed credit for firing the deadly shots that killed the Al-Qaeda leader during a covert U.S. raid into Pakistan in 2011, appeared on Fox News to discuss the Pentagon's recent decision to open all direct combat jobs to women. I've operated with women. They have actually come with us on operations, O'Neill said. We use them a lot for some of the searching of women and children, cultural sensitivity type stuff. O'Neill was referring to a select group of highly trained women who served on the Special Operations Command Cultural Support Team. The pilot program was designed to train women and have them serve with special operations direct action units so they could gather battlefield intelligence by talking to Afghan women in situations where male soldiers had been unsuccessful. The pilot program outlined in Ashley's War the untold story of a team of women soldiers on the special ops battlefield. Highly praised, high-ranking special operation leaders says it was all highly successful. There is definitely a place for women. There are certain types of intelligence and reconnaissance type stuff where women and men working together is better, said O'Neill. A decorated combat veteran who served with the United States Naval Special Warfare Development Group known as SEAL Team 6. Now, I want to stop right there because there's the gist. Women have tried to go through Marine Corps infantry training. They've tried to go through Marine Corps officers infantry school. And they've tried to go through Ranger school. And some have graduated. And yet there's always this little voice in the background of shame, shame. You didn't really test them the right way. But the women are carrying the combat load in the training. Combat load, for those that don't understand, you're talking all your ammunition and then your gear. And then you might just have to carry a base plate, or you might have to carry the spare barrel for an M60. I'm old school, so if I'm not saying M4 and I'm not saying all the modern stuff like that, bear with me. I can. I'm just not going to. So the weight's hard. But see, here's my argument to that. Once they do get through the school and they prove that they can carry it, because the combat load is also pretty much the same load or weight as your counterpart, your male counterpart that you got to carry out of a firefight so he doesn't bleed out. Those are the cons that make it tough. But the pros, here's the pros. You got a Navy SEAL saying it's possible. You can do it. We've used them. I say, this is my big answer, mobile infantry, helo company. I was Alpha Company 1-2. We were in the Gulf War. We went overseas. We were in the sand. You know what we did? We humped. Oh, boy, we humped. And if you're a grunt, you know what humping is. But we also took helos. And the special ops guys, you know they hump, but you also know they take helos. And I think that cuts out a little bit of the problem with a woman in combat. But what about you guys at home? I'm asking you to tell me, are you ready to see your daughter, your wife, your sister in combat? Because in combat, after combat, when Haji gets a hold of her and he kneels her down in front of all the world to see on some YouTube video and cuts her head off slowly with some kind of cheap butter knife machete that they must only buy in Pakistan, where are we now? Is the draft the right thing? The draft is tough. You got a guy, one set of politicians is saying draft them because they are going into combat jobs. So to be fair to the men, we've got to register now the women, selective service, which, by the way, costs $23 million a year just to host selective service for the men. I don't know, but maybe that price even doubles if you add all the women. 18 years old, you get right out of high school, you got to do the selective service. But we haven't used the draft since the Vietnam War. And that's a good thing. Truth is, we like our voluntary force. We really don't want the draft guys in there. The people say, well, that would be so good for America to have more draftees in the military so that everybody has a common ground. You're absolutely right. But you know what? I served with draftees. I served with conscientious objectors, and we really don't want you in the service. I liked it when I was in the all-volunteer military. That aside, women in combat and the draft, you got two factions, one saying no at the Congress level, and one is saying yes. And I think Senator McCain, of all people, is saying yes, that we should register women for the draft. Oh, we got a call, Dave from New York. Dave, if you could tell me where you are from in New York and what's your military affiliation, even if you're a legacy. Legacy is the person in the family who may not have served, but his father or his son did, or mother. Got to be fair.
All right. Yeah. Actually, I would be legacy. My dad, my brother, were veterans. Both of my children are veterans.
But I'm
serving my own way.
Well, you've created a few legacies there.
Yeah, I have a few legacies, but my legacy is that I've, in the last 2.5 years, I've put a program together where we train veterans who are going through difficulties. We train them to do stand-up comedy to get their problems out, and we work with them. We hold their hands, and we find out their demons, and then they exercise them by finding a funny way of saying things they've never been able to get out. And once they feel good about what they're doing, we actually get them in fundraisers where they raise money for the veterans' causes. And now we have a show coming up on the 19th of March at the American Legion Post 942 in Webster, New York. We're going to raise money for the comfort kits that are provided by the American Red Cross. So we're raising money for the Red Cross so they can buy these comfort kits, which comprise basically of bathrobes, slippers, and toiletries for the hospital veterans. And also they have these comfort kits for the veterans.
Dave,
that are
Dave,
homeless.
We got all that about the comfort kits and the combat veterans or the combat comedians. But the question is, how do you feel about women in combat?
Well, the thing is this: they are in need too of things. But women in combat is what turned a lot of things around. If you think about it, when in World War II, when the Russians were backing up Stalingrad and Leningrad and Moscow. What you're referring to is the
Russian snipers. Women on the actual line, maybe loading, maybe firing as a sniper, they do have all those stories. German female snipers, Russian snipers.
Sure.
We've already got women that have shot well in combat. We've got Marine women in combat. But are you ready, Dave, to see a daughter beheaded on YouTube? You sure you want women to go into combat under the draft and actually get in there? We're talking all women, as long as they physically pass.
Well, what you're doing is, you know, there's different arms and legs of the military service, okay? Now, for example, my son, he's still in the Air Force as a part-time basis as a reservist, but he's still serving the country. He's going to be helping them engineer a radar station in Africa. But the women can be in the service, and they can still. What says that? Why can't they run a tank? Why can't they be somewhat protected by being in an Abrams tank or something where they're not just right out there where it's going to come down to?
Tanks kind of in the middle of battle, Dave. Tanks right there. They blow up tanks. Tanks catch on fire. People burn to death. You know, again, you know, that's great. Women deserve the right, as the Navy SEAL was saying, they deserve the right to be in combat. They're American. They're red-blooded. I get that. I've met women that are military. They want to fight. They want to kill, to be quite honest with you. Our Marine women are fighters. They're killers. All you got to be, and this is a quote from an Italian Navy SEAL, a little cold-blooded, and you can kill. That's it.
Right.
And again, women in combat, though, how are they going to get there? You just don't. Sometimes, I guess, if you're a tank, yeah, you could show up in your tank and drive all the way to the field. But if your tank goes kablooey, and you got a guy next to you, can that woman carry that 185 pound man? And she's probably 150,
not.
140.
Okay. I think we could easily. Come up with scenarios where, based on size and strength, they could not compete. But on the same token, you could just easily come up with scenarios where their size and strength would not matter because to do their job, it wouldn't be necessary.
Right. They could do that because like women in combat, and the Marine Corps has already done this, where they've had complete women companies, 200 women, only women, so a woman would only have to carry out another woman on the battlefield. And firemen's carry, runner out to the corpsman, corpsman up. That's possible. That could happen that way.
Okay. But
what about the female anatomy?
That's highly unlikely.
Well, we've already done that in the Marine Corps. Marine Corps is so far advanced on women in combat, it's crazy. We might as well be stormship troopers on Mars fighting ants. Because the Marine Corps has already done all this, and we've been successful.
That's really good. I like the way you did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well here's the question.
Don't forget,
okay.
You're coaching me on this stuff. So back at home. I know Dave. Dave's a great guy. He loves the veteran. I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, kind of trying to get some oomph into this. Dave, I got to tell you, here's the problem. Women in combat load, 150, 200 plus pounds. Women have an anatomy problem. This is almost a cincher. This is why they can't be boots on the ground all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have a pelvis bone, correct?
I would hope so.
All right, good. Yours is completely together. It's 100% fused together. It's one piece. Women,
they're
I didn't know this. I only went to eighth grade health class. I never knew this until the other day, like this year. And every time I've mentioned it to a man, most guys go, huh? And they look at their wife, and the wife goes, yeah, honey, their pelvis is not together. And it doesn't connect. You know why it doesn't connect? Because that's the only way you can make a baby. Baby's got to come out through that way. So when their pelvis bone doesn't connect, they can't hold the weight, and they wind up damaging their hip, and then they're actually crippled, like a veteran crippled, you know, go to the VA with a crutch the rest of their lives, and they might only damage that hip in boot camp.
Well,
to put women in combat just based on that one physicality?
Well, I think you really, really, first of all, you got to look at what kind of a war are we into? What kind of engagement are we really, really looking at here? Is this total war? Is this where we are so backed into a corner that we're fighting for survival? Or is it a police action? I mean,
is won without boots on the ground. No matter how many times you fly over and bomb them, we're proving that with ISIS right now.
You can fly over and bomb all you want. You can bomb Hanoi. You can bomb Japan, Nagasaki. But eventually, you got to put boots on the ground.
Put the boots.
It's the only way.
Sure, sure. I think you have to look at each scenario and say, we understand the limitations that the women have. So putting them in would almost have to be as a last resort, okay? Knowing the shortcomings that are bound to happen in some environment.
You just treated your women veterans terribly. The last resort? You're talking about
a weekend warrior reserve
kind of thing when America's down and out and we got nothing left, so we send our kids and then we send our women?
Well,
that's
that
not what they
like
want.
Saying,
our women want to fight on the front lines first.
One of the things about anything in the armed services, the person who enlists, it's not about what they want, okay? That's why there's generals.
It doesn't work that way anymore. You get to sign a big fat contract that says, I want to be a satellite technician, and you're going to send me to school because I got the grades, I got the ASVAB scores. I want to be a satellite technician so when I get out, I can work for Time Warner and fix satellite dishes on people's houses. Because that's usually what happens.
And then you get
guaranteed that 6-month course of free education. Nobody goes in anymore like the Civil War and goes, okay, you Irish guys, you're going to Calvary. You other mixed race of people, well, we're going to put you in the kitchen. They don't do that anymore. It's a guaranteed contract.
If we're backed into a corner,
We've never really been backed in a corner. No foreign military has ever landed on our ground. That's why we have no experience in this.
Our women, except for when the Indians were around, that's the only time they had to load the ammunition and fight back. Don't forget the Japs and the Aleutian Islands. That's part of our ground. Yes, they were there, and Kiska and Attu, they were there. Okay, don't forget.
I'm glad you know where the Aleutian Islands are on a globe, because I guess I do. I've heard of them. I've heard of Aleutian horses.
Well, the Jets were there for almost a year. And we had a kick with them off of one, and then we went to the other one. They were gone. But, yes, they were. And Americans were captive, and Americans died when the Japs were there, and there wasn't anything we could do about it. We had nothing for there, okay? So yes, they have come onto our soil.
We had American citizens on the Aleutian Islands, and our women were fighting back. I mean, any more than like a missionary?
Well, no, we didn't have any lady soldiers.
That's the point of the subject, Dave. We're talking about women in combat. Listen, you're a great guy. Give me a quick plug for Combat Comedians.
Okay. Combat Comedians. Basically, our byline is healing through humor. And if you just come down to our show, we've got Monroe Community College. Boston
well, this is a worldwide show, Dave. Just plug your website or your Facebook page.
Okay. Well, what it is just look up Combat Comedians, and they'll tell you about what we're doing. And it's part of our America's Vets and Pets program.
Okay. Yep, we like that too. Hey, Dave, thank you very much. I got the book already on the way. Maybe you'll get me in front of a mic, and I'll be twice as nervous as I am tonight.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Dave.
See ya.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. And when we do, we're going to talk about the 11 universal truths that happened when I became a veteran. There's some humor for Dave right there.
The Military Exchange.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Iron Mike's is located in Canandaigua, New York. The Military Exchange is locked and loaded with military gear and merchandise currently being used by our armed forces. The Military Exchange is an excellent source for all your hunting, camping, and outdoor needs. Iron Mike's is proud to stock items for our active and reserve military personnel, Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol, Sea Cadets, Airsoft, campers, backpackers, and survivalists. Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
And now, a moment of bliss, courtesy of Iron Mike's Military Exchange and Camping Supply.
My Wooby, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad. For being issued you, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know that it's fate. Forever, I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I'm yours, and you are mine. Forever and ever will be just fine. And on the eighth day, God created the poncho liner, and the infantry was very thankful.
The American-made military-issue poncho liner, available in assorted colors along with a USGI poncho to create a Ranger bag. Available at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332, Canandaigua. Visit online at ironmikes.co.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Iron Mike's is located in Canandaigua, New York. The Military Exchange is locked and loaded with military gear and merchandise currently being used by our armed forces. The Military Exchange is an excellent source for all your hunting, camping, and outdoor needs. Iron Mike's is proud to stock items for our active and reserve military personnel, Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol, Sea Cadets, Airsoft, campers, backpackers, and survivalists. Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Eleven things that happened when I became a veteran. This is Corporal Tim Thornton. The world looks very different once you hang your uniform up for good. My two-year anniversary. This is a story by Captain Richard Desmond. My two-year anniversary of being a veteran just passed. As I reflect on this humbling transition from service member to civilian, I have noticed several things that happened. They just may be me, or they may be universal truths that must be added to TAPS. First, you get fat. Unless you're that guy or gal that was doing marathons for fun, you are going to stop running. You will plan to stay just as fit or unfit as you were in the service. A gym membership will be bought and not used, and new shoes will be fitted by a foot specialist because you think you finally have the time to run as a hobby. But then you remember you hate running. Then your Fitbit will remind you that you took like 20 steps and burned 10 calories in the last 24 hours. It doesn't know that you consume 4,000 calories as you shopped for fitness apps. That's so true. I got home. I couldn't have been in better shape. I look so good in a pair of UDT shorts, underwater demolition team. Never was one. But the Marine Corps gives you these cool brown shorts that no man would ever wear in public, and you go running. And you know what really happens? Your knee gives. Something, all of a sudden, your knee just goes, what was that? And you lose the ability to put real pressure on it. And then, you know, you got to work for a living. You already work too much in the military, but let's face it, if you were a field Marine, then you worked your butt off and kept the weight off just by being in the field, again, with the humping, the running. Every captain is, they're nuts. They want to run. I mean, they want to run. And you get these university graduated officers who think, you know what? I heard the last captain would run the guys 5 miles in this time. Well, I'm going to run the guys longer and quicker. You become physically fit on their dime. And then you come home and you want to run, but guess what? You're working 40 hours, 60 hours. You got a part-time job and a full-time job. Forget about if you got a family. Second thing, you will notice all the active duty deals and privileges you didn't care about when you were in. You want to go on base. I want to go to the USO for free candy and a cup of noodles. I want my 10% discount at Hobby Lobby. I didn't want to do any of this until I couldn't. I have a unique situation. I run a military exchange store, an Army-Navy store, if you will, old school. Back in the day, not the first 10 years I was in business, but then afterwards, around 2003, all these guys kept coming in. They go, hey, do I get a discount? I go, I give the Boy Scouts a discount. Well, I'm military. How about me? And I go, I'm military too. Why would you take 10% of what I need to make to And then I thought, oh, okay, I get it. This is a new thing where people respect the veteran and they actually give them a discount. So now I want the discount, but then I go out for all the free meals on Veterans Day. And, you know, it's kind of, at first it was cool, and I didn't go out for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, though I know guys that did. You go out for the dinner with the wife, and you go to your normal hamburger joint, and they make the hamburger patty twice as thin as before. They scrimp on the fries. You get maybe a milkshake with it. And, oh, by the way, your meal is free. Your wife jumps in and gets one, and the whole meal cost over $20. How's that possible? It wasn't $20 when I paid for two of them last week because I didn't really want to do it. I'm not a big fan on the free meals. But 10% off at your Lowe's department store or something like that, that's worth it. So definitely get the discount. I like to get the discount. You come into my store, you get a discount. Everyone in uniform will probably think you are, oh, here he is. So everyone in uniform will probably think you are a stalker since you stare intently on people's uniforms looking for stolen valor or uniform discrepancies you can call out. Again, with the store, everybody that comes in, they want their ribbons, they want their medals. I do that, but we vet them. I don't always ask for a DD-214, but I can tell if you're faking it if I give you a little conversation. Within a couple minutes, I already know. And then it says, you say the VA in a curse word at least 20 times a day. Well, I only do when they force me into an appointment because they're trying to take care of me. And they actually call me up and they say, we'd like you to come back and do some more cool stuff. And I go, well, you know, I'm only a little sick. I'm only a little hurt. I'd really like to stay home and not do anything. But you go to the VA, that's a good thing. And you constantly shout, what about the vets, even when it has nothing to do with the military? And here's the next one. You deck out in all your veteran gear and still awkwardly say, how did you know? That's me. People actually walk in the store, they look at me, and they go, hey, man, Semper Fi, see you're in the Marines. How do you know that? They go, I forget that I wear shirts that say Marine Corps. I got a gold charm around my neck that says Marine Corps. I got a ring that says Iwo Jima on it. And I probably have a ball cap on right now that says Marine Corps. Don't get me wrong, Army guys. If you read the profile, I was in the Army too. Every once in a while, I switch up and I wear my military police cap. And see, now you don't like me anymore because you found out I was an MP in the Army. That's why I wear all my Marine Corps stuff, because infantry's kind of a good guy job. All right, we're going to take a break, throw a few more commercials at you. The only thing that pays for this show is the Military Exchange, which is an Army-Navy store in Canandaigua, New York. We're online, ironmikesmx.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The Military Exchange.
Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
Welcome back to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. Military lives matter. Black lives matter. White lives matter. All lives matter, or does it? Because apparently military lives do not matter. That's not me. We are up to now 3 veterans. Let me just take that throat lozenger out of my mouth. We're up to 3 veterans now in the D.C. area that have been jumped by a gang of thugs, some who've already been arrested. They walk up to the veteran. They say, "Hey, man, you believe in Black Lives Matter? What's that? You don't?" Thump. And the guy gets beaten up, knocked down, and robbed because obviously, you know, 5 against 1 isn't something that your average Marine can do. I think mostly because they don't even know this is coming. But I am promising you, now the first sergeants are saying, wake up, travel in pairs. You thugs, you're going to get your asses whooped. I guarantee it, it's going to come back around, and they're going to hold you down till you get arrested. But my problem is, when did this ever become a military thing? Or is this just some extension of going around in that punch game where some thug beats up on an old man and knocks him out and almost cripples him? Here's a little meme or mem that I like that kind of fits in with this whole discrimination. There's nothing funnier than watching a bunch of white people in corporate America discuss diversity like they're damn experts on it. You want to see diversity? Swing by your average infantry platoon. It's not going to be the kumbaya utopia you have in your head, but you'll see a bunch of people from every conceivable background who are willing to die for each other. And it's a hell of a lot more real than your mandatory diversity seminars and team building exercises. Staff Sergeant, old school. That's Military Lives Matter. Now we're going to go to a pre-recorded segment, God and the Gift of Discernment, or is it the sixth sense that a Leo has?
Daily devotional through the eyes of a cop. Discernment. Briefing. Is it possible for law enforcement officers to develop a sixth sense? Have you experienced it? Dispatch assignment. Think of the time when your cop sense kicked in and you perceived danger or wrongdoing before you actually had evidence of the truth. On the street. What is discernment and why is it important? Webster defines discernment as an act of perceiving or discerning something. Police have something similar. We call it our sixth sense. It is an ability law enforcement officers have that warns them when something is not quite right. I have no proof, but I believe discernment and a police officer's sixth sense are one in the same. I believe that God has given the law enforcement officer an extra measure of discernment. The following verses are part of the reason I believe we have been given this gift. Proverbs 2:11 through 15. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, rescuing you from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. We know from Romans chapter 13 that God has ordained the law enforcement officer. We are called to be his agents of justice, while in the flesh God calls and equips us for our various callings in life. Do you want to be saved from wicked men? Every law enforcement officer wants this kind of protection. Discretion, understanding, and wisdom are characteristics of discernment, police sixth sense. This call to wisdom and discretion should be engraved on the walls of every police academy. God is the giver of all good gifts. He has given tools and skills that should be on every law enforcement officer's Christmas list. God is the giver of all good gifts. He has given tools and skills that should be on every law enforcement officer's Christmas list. Discernment and wisdom are two of the best tools we can possess. As I was researching this topic, I ran across a short snippet I wanted to include, police officers are said to possess a sixth sense, defined in terms of suspicion, fear, intuition, and even common sense. Research and training on the sixth sense, however, lack theoretical guidance. To address this shortcoming, the author likens the sixth sense to an experimental thinking style, which not only explains why police officers presumably have it, but also makes it possible to know whether they even have a sixth sense at all. American Journal of Criminal Justice, June 2012, The Police Sixth Sense, An Observation in Search of a Theory, John L. Worrell. Discernment is a gift that can be honed and sharpened. It is a tool that all law enforcement could benefit greatly from. Even if you don't believe that sixth sense and discernment are the same things, seek to sharpen your discernment skills. Proverbs 10:13. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of the one who lacks sense. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. We can glean that discerning people are wise. Wisdom can be found when they speak. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. And we can glean wisdom when they don't speak. Proverbs 17:24. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. A person of discernment thinks before they act, and or they train themselves to act in ways that are in agreement with the way they think. Proverbs 21. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright man considers his way. Proverbs 18:15. The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks it. Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke cuts into a perceptive person more than 100 lashes into a fool. A person of discernment is always looking to improve. For most of us, we learn from doing and having someone critique our actions and behaviors, just like an athlete whose coach shows them where they are not performing proper technique. Is a discerning person who looks for outside influences to point out mistakes or areas that need improvement. Proverbs 28:7. A discerning son keeps the law, but a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. There are a few more proverbs about discernment, although the word discernment does not appear in the verses. The proverbs clearly point to acts of discernment. Proverbs 25:4 through 5. Remove impurities from silver, and a vessel will be produced for a silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Proverbs 26:10. The one who hires a fool or who hires those passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone. Proverbs 26:17. A person who is passing by and meddles in a quarrel that's not his is like one who grabs a dog by the ears. Proverbs 26:24 through 26. A hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. Proverbs 27:22. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with grain, you will not separate his foolishness from him. Proverbs 28:11. A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has discernment sees through him. Okay, there is no research or training that can be offered up to prove sixth sense. Some people say it is only a thinking style. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. I cannot see the wind, but I can see evidence of the wind when I see a leaf blow across my yard. I have experienced sixth sense and have always thanked God for it. After the evidence of the unseen came to pass, If you want discernment or more of it, ask the giver of all good gifts. Investigational resources for this topic, Genesis 41:39, Philippians 1:9 and 3:15, 1 John 2:27, Romans 12:2, 1 Corinthians 1:17 through 26, and 2:9 through 14, 1 Timothy 6:20, Colossians 2:8, and John 7:17. Officer safety principle. Call it whatever you want, sixth sense or discernment. I choose to call it discernment, and I'll tell you why. If this gift is from God, and Proverbs tells us it is, I will not disrespect the giver by giving credit to some mysterious so-called extrasensory phenomenon. Thank you, Lord, for giving law enforcement officers the gift of discernment. And I'd like to say, one of the ways to be sure that you do have access to gifts of the Spirit is to quicken your soul. In order to do that, you have to accept Christ as your Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the chapel. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton. God bless. Farewell. Amen.